From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me,
so everybody just follow me. Now see, I don't like political parties. I like American principles. There are scallywags and scoundrels in both parties, and until people recognize this and throw them out of office, we are going to be wallowing in a quagmire of Keynesianism that we're choking on. I remember in 1994, he had me at the destruction of American liberty. And in 2004, he wrote a book called The Bush Betrayal and Lost Rights. 2006, Attention Deficit Democracy. And then he's the author of Public Policy Hooligan in 2012. He also has, I mean, he's written for everybody. Von Mises, that's what I call it. It's called Mises, but I still like the Von. But above all, he's written for Playboy. I am happy to welcome Jim Bovard to my show. Thank you very much for joining me, Jim.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. It's always good to be talk to a fellow cigar lover.
Oh, that's exactly. I'm smoking an Avo Nicaraguan right now. Super.
Well, okay.
All right, but I wanted to talk more with you about a scam that's never talked about a scam that could have been ended, along with the IMF and the rest of it, the World Bank and the fraud therein. How oligarchs, how KGB, how thugs around the world have been fronted by the American government pretending to loan money to countries as we bribe them to like us. Do I have it about right?
Yeah, well, that's a good thumbnail summary. The thing about the World Bank is that they're bankrolling so many tyrants. And, you know, the money goes, you know, it's sort of like helping tyrants hire more prison guards. And the bank has financed a lot of the worst economic policies in the world, but they're still propped up by the U.S. government.
I remember reading years ago, after the fall of the Soviet Union, when the KGB became, right before they became oligarchs, how many of these ex-KGB agents the World Bank was giving loans to in the name of economic development. It's something that would even make a Chicago Democrat blush. Has there ever been, I remember they also didn't repay many of those loans. Has there ever been a full audit of the World Bank?
No, it's a very secretive organization. It's very difficult for the U.S. government, for Congress to find out what's going on. It's almost impossible for taxpayers who are paying for 20% of it what they do. And private citizens, you know, it's hopeless, which is why I went to extreme measures to try to get some of their files.
Did you have any luck with any of this? I mean, this is on top of the foreign aid. I mean, it's really quite a scandal that seems to be protected by people on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, I remember when Trump brought on Wilbur Ross, I said, are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? Wilbur Ross is at the hub of some of the greatest financial scandals in American history. He's really an economic hitman. And during his tenure at both the Bush administration, Bush won, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he, with the old man with the funny socks?
Could have been, yeah.
And then W. Bush, luckily W. Bush was unaware of Wilbur Ross's presence, and then Trump. Along with that, he was a liaison to Obama. I mean, do the people just wallow in ignorance, or do you think in the failure that is the American economic system with a $30 trillion debt, with major Keynesian frauds that are not being paid back, and states like Illinois and New York living on government welfare, do you think eventually there will be some pushback from the American people who have been robbed for 70 years?
Well, at some point, the roof is going to fall in. It's possible to postpone the a domino-type collapse, but it can't be postponed forever. The zero interest rate policy has been a disaster, but the with inflation soaring like a rocket, gas prices jumping again, it's not going to last. And it's unfortunate that so few journalists understand the damage the government has done, because the journalists tend to be, shills for government agencies and politicians, and thereby helping keep people in the dark.
The reality is we have massive financial interests in really enemies of America. We have these relationships where, if they're not outright enemies, they're certainly not allies. Yet we still have these massive loans to specific political figures in these nations around the world. Isn't this just buying silence as America bribes people to remain the world currency? Because what we've done over the course of the last 30 years, we really don't deserve the honor of being the world currency, do we?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I think back to the currency crisis in the early mid-70s, and people were saying back then, you know, for 30 years, the U.S. has squandered its role and had all the deficit spending and doesn't deserve to be the world's reserve currency. People were right back then. People are right now. So at some point, folks are going to lose patience with the U.S. dollar and the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve, as they should. And that that'll be a great way to undercut the power of Congress and politicians to keep spending money that they don't have.
I wanted to talk about this earlier in the week because I found it to be an atrocity. And the reality is a lot of people don't want to get brought down into the weeds when we talk about the corruption in the Federal Reserve. And I don't just mean the front-running insider trading that now we're finding president after president of Federal Reserve boards are obviously have been practicing this for decades. But when you have an ideologue Marxist like Raskin, his wife now promoted by the Biden administration, that is really what could upset things to the normal front-running insider trading scheme that we're already used to. When you put somebody in there who wants to adjust our economy on global warming and social engineering, could that not be the last straw on the camel's back?
It certainly could be, but what might happen before that is that the markets will get rattled by some of the wacky ideas that are being thrown out there, and there'll be a sharp decrease in confidence, and the markets will fall enough that they basically kick the politicians in the butt.
We now know that China has been bribing politicians. I believe it's called campaign contributing to them, but I like to call it simple bribery. And they have been doing that to politicians on both sides of the aisle for about 30 years. And there's a lot of Republicans in on that milkshake. It turns out that the Shycoms are involved with the Biden family to the tune of $31 million, if we just use soft numbers. Is there any future where the Chinese, Russians, and Iranians do not work to destroy the U.S. dollar as the world currency, as if we haven't done enough damage? Or have they bribed enough politicians to where we can all get along if we all are in on the lie?
Well, I think that the best way to prop up the dollar is to stop undermining with the deficit spending, with the Federal Reserve money creation, with all the other bad policies the U.S. government is fomenting. So that would be a lot more effective a defense than pushing back against some of the foreign governments.
Can we change it, or is it too far gone when you have unfunded liabilities that are arguably $200 trillion in a debt you admit
to
30 trillion?
Well, yeah, might be able to change it for the U.S. State of Illinois, I don't know. I mean, it's amazing the numbers out there, but but folks need to realize how much damage the government is doing on a daily basis, and that could create a pushback that would curb the damage. I don't know. I'm not optimistic.
But realistically, if we were to go to a system of true kind of wean off this Keynesian fraud, and we were to go to a flat tax and grow the economy without subsidies, there is a future where we could potentially at least stop the drowning. Is there not?
Oh, yeah. And a key thing there is that there are a vast number of talented Americans, hardworking Americans, a lot of great American businesses and corporations that that are able to compete with anybody in the world. But with all the wrenches the U.S. government's thrown into the economy, that is really slowing things down. And so many bad signals the U.S. government has given the American people in recent decades.
In fact, you know, Jim, you and I are old enough to remember before there was an internet and before there were internet billionaires and before we had this entire new sphere of an economy. I was very excited at the idea that back then when it was first starting out, we had young guys who were capitalists. They weren't really politically affiliated. They just wanted to go in and make a ton of money. I'm also, I thought that would always be our saving grace. I thought they were beyond reproach at that level of income, at that level of success, and being a benefactor or a beneficiary of capitalism, excuse me. Now they're benefactors of socialism as they work hand in glove with government for a top-down collectivism in a rent-seeking tax avoidance scheme. Do you think that there are enough upcomers that want that capitalist dream, that American dream, that want to make that system stop, or they want to be a part of the new economy where you're an arm of the government?
I think that there are lots of young Americans who have got that vision of making products or making services that make them affluent and by serving their fellow citizens and customers. But whether it's enough and how far it can go, I don't know. But you know, there are so many wrong signals people are getting at this point, and a lot of them coming from the government.
You know, you wrote a book under the Bush administration, and it was really now that you see what you were warning Americans about, the excuse of the war on terror to really kind of start to have policies in place that allowed the surveillance and the economic surveillance of American citizens. When you see this new kind of idea that we are, in fact, going to accept being surveilled by our government, that the Biden administration has a wing of the Department of Justice which will focus on people who speak against the state. Do you want to just jump up and down and say, I told you so? Because I know I do. Are you tempted? Because you were doing it in real time in 2004.
Well, it wouldn't do much good to do that. It would just antagonize a bunch of folks. And
it would get you
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting to think how many editors back then were very shy about running my stuff. Folks that liked my articles when Bill Clinton was president, but 9/11, oh, nope, can't publish this anymore. So, I'm still here. I'm still raising hell.
In 1994, your book, The Destruction of American Liberty, I read it shortly after the collapse of the peso. People don't realize the first bailout was not of the dollar. It was of the peso because Prince Blinky Alwedi owned Citibank, and Citibank had a very large position in the peso. He also had Bill Clinton in his pocket. He bailed out the Mexican peso. The next day it rallied. And shortly thereafter, I stumbled onto your book, The Destruction of American Liberty. What was the catalyst that made you recognize back in 94 where 2021, 22 would lead us?
I'd been writing for about a dozen years before I started that book and writing in D.C., and I'd seen so many government lies and so many boondoggles, and I'd seen how they were undermining the financial system, among other things, and there were just so many warning signals. And but it's interesting, many of the folks who did reviews of that book thought I was basically paranoid or like, oh, it's not this bad. Well, here we are, 26, 27, 28 years later, and, you know, it's looking a lot worse than it was in the early 1990s.
Are you working on anything now?
Yeah, I'm doing stories, doing stuff occasionally for USA Today, New York Post. Haven't written for Playboy for a long time, but
so give us a good Playboy story. Who was the centerfold in your article? Who we got there?
It was a bunch of stories I did. I work with a editor, Jim Peterson, who I think may still live in Chicago. He was one of the best editors I ever dealt with. Very courageous, very smart, and had a hell of a good time writing for them. They had the best illustrations for my articles.
Love it. So your next book, are you going to title it K Street Recession Proof, or Until K Street is Shut Down, Main Street Will Not Open Up? What do you think?
Well, those are ideas.
See what I tried to do there? I'm trying to get my name mentioned in your next book because I love reading your stuff. I recommend everybody do it. He is Jim Bovard. You can find him at the Mises Institute and so many other places. I mean this in the kindest way. Please take it the right way. I am so proud to have talked to you because I have admired you for years and years, decades. So I just want to say what a blessing you are to Americanism and to people who love liberty and capitalism. It's been an honor speaking to you, and I want to thank you for coming on my show.
Thanks so much for the kind words. I really appreciate that.